Okay, guys, let me pray for us before we get started.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we pray for Chris and the group of guys who are out ministering to people and handing out tracts. Lord, we pray that you would keep them safe. Lord, you give them divine appointments today, and we just pray, Lord, that you would bless them. Thank you for this lesson on goodness, your goodness, Lord. You're good all the time, and I just pray, Lord, that we would know that, understand that, and live our lives knowing and understanding that truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Okay, so we're going to do in God's goodness today. So, key verses today, Psalm 119:68, you are good and do good. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see, the Lord is good. Psalm 52:1, the goodness of God endures continually. So in the Bible, guys, goodness is often understood as a fundamental attribute of God. And it reflects His character and nature, emphasizing that all His actions are inherently good. Okay? So this divine goodness serves as man's standard for moral behavior and ethical living. And it encourages us as believers to emulate God's goodness. Okay? The Bible highlights the idea that true goodness is not merely about doing good deeds, but is rooted in a relationship with God, who is the ultimate source of all goodness. Goodness means that God is always merciful and kind. Okay, He always does what's best for us. And that's good for us. The Bible says in Psalm 136:1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So God is good to all, even those who do not believe in Him and those who hate Him. Matthew 5:45 says, He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just, that's the believers, and the unjust, the unbelievers. He did that last night, didn't He? Rained all over Memphis. God loves all people, but He takes special pleasure in those who have trusted Christ as our Savior. So the Bible says in Psalm 31:19, Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that trust in you before the sons of men. So think about that. All of God's goodness, He's laid up some for you and you and you and you or me. It's there. A little box of goodness for you. So since God's goodness is stored up for believers, I think, you know, we ought to try to learn as much as we can about the attribute of goodness. So first, number one, the goodness of God. So what's God like? That's really the purpose of why I do all these attributes, because so we can learn what God is.
That's one attribute. God's attributes, we can't have like sovereignty.
Yeah.
We're not omnipotent. We're not sovereign.
You're not.
But
yes, omnipresent.
We can.
You can know some of these.
Show God's goodness,
yes,
through the Spirit
and love.
As we try to become more,
we
become more Christ-like. That particular attribute we should be showing also.
Yes, that's good. That's exactly what I'm saying. So that's a question that we all must be answered if we're going to be any kind of Christian at all. You need to know who God is, what He is, who you're worshiping. Okay? You need to really understand that. Because if you don't, you end up with some wonky theology that's man-based. You just make God like you are. Basic is what we do. That's terrible. We've talked about that over and over in these lessons. Don't do that. A.W. Tozer said this, All of religious activities and every means of grace, however right and useful they may be, are nothing until we understand that the unmerited, spontaneous goodness of God is back of all and underneath all His acts. Like you said, that's one of the attributes that we can kind of sort of understand, but His goodness is all around anything He does. It's intertwined in all of His other attributes. So this means that Christianity at any given time is strong or weak depending on their concept of God, right? If you know God very well, you're going to have a definite strong faith. And if you're just getting started, it's going to be a little up and down because you're just unsure. God is good and His good is limitless. And we've talked about the immutability and the infinity of God. So it's impossible for God to do anything and not be completely and infinitely what He is. So He is not only infinitely good, He is perfectly good. God is never partway anything like we are. The goodness of God means that He can't feel indifferent about anything. You know, we do. We feel indifferent about things all the time. You probably feel indifferent about me being here and Chris not being here. It's okay. But God's not like that, okay? He's never indifferent. A.W. Pink said this about God's goodness. This is a pretty long quote, but it's good, so listen. He is originally good, good of Himself, which nothing else is. He is essentially good, not only good, but goodness itself. He is infinitely good. Now you see here all these attributes that are coming in and tying in with goodness. He is infinitely good. The creature's good is but a drop. But in God, there is an infinite ocean of gathering together of good. Is that so good or what? Man, that's just good. That's a wordsmith. So He is eternally and immutably good. For He cannot be less or more good than He is. Because to do that would mean He would change, right? And we know He does not change. So He can't be more good or less good. He is good. The original Saxon meaning of the English word for God is, anybody know? I didn't know this. The good. It's very interesting. This is still A.W. Pink quoting him. So God is not only the greatest of all beings, but He is the best. All the goodness there is in any creature has been imparted from the Creator, but God's goodness is all original, for it is the essence of His eternal nature. He was eternally good before there was any communication of His goodness or any creation to whom it might be imparted or exercised. So He was good before anything. So God has in Himself an infinite and inexhaustible treasure of all goodness, enough to fill all things. Is that a good quote? How long do you think it took Him to write that paragraph? Months, I would think. Yeah, he steeped in it. Yes. So that's the goodness of God. So let's look at the character of God's goodness. So according to the Bible, badness comes naturally. Goodness does not. We all know that, don't we? And because of this, God has a wondrous plan to radically transform our character. So this is possible only through a relationship with Him. We know that. 3 John 11 says, "He who does good as a way of life is of God. But he who does evil as a way of life has not seen God and has not come to really know Him." Okay, 3 John 11. Once the Holy Spirit is at work within us, it produces the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right, so that's in us. If we're saved, you got the goodness of God in you. The spiritual fruit of goodness enables sinful men to do good and to be good, and this good is the truest sense of the word. Goodness, after all, is the essence of God's nature. God's goodness comes from within Himself, and He doesn't obtain His goodness from somewhere else or someone else. Nor is He dependent or obligated to you or me to exhibit His goodness. Okay? He hears the repentant person not out of obligation, but due to His goodness. He hears prayer only because of His goodness. He saves people due to His goodness and not because of any goodness that's found in them. He is infinitely good. We talked about the infinitude of God. Whatever we think we know, it's way, way, way past that. His goodness is the same. His goodness cannot be broken into degrees, nor can it be measured. Think about that. Everything we do can be measured. Usually not very far. He is perfectly good and holy. Everything He does is good. His goodness does not change. His goodness has never varied its intensity because He is immutably good. He is the highest good and the author of all good. The goodness of God surrounds and intertwines all of His other attributes. Think about that. Of all the attributes we've studied for, His goodness is intertwined and interwoven in all of that. All of His attributes are like that. Unlike us, as we've talked about, where we can separate love from our justice, God doesn't do that. So, And we'll talk about that maybe in a minute. Number three, what does God say about His goodness? He says His goodness is great. Nehemiah 9, there's going to be a lot of verses here. His goodness is great. Nehemiah 9:35. Even when they were in their kingdom and benefiting from your incredible goodness, which I'm sure was great, that you had lavished on them in the spacious and fertile land you had set before them, they did not serve you, nor did they turn from their evil practice. So even though His goodness was great and they saw it, they responded negatively. We've all done that too. Don't be hard on the Israelites because they are you. B, He says His goodness is rich. Romans 2:4, do you despise the riches of His goodness? Next, He says His goodness is abundant. Exodus 34:6, the Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in goodness. That's pretty abundant. And truth. Psalm 33:5, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His goodness. D, He says His goodness is satisfying. Psalm 65:4. How blessed is the one whom you choose and allow to live in your palace courts. May we be satisfied with the good things of your house, your holy place, holy palace. Jeremiah 31:12-14 says, they will come and shout for joy on Mount Zion. They will be radiant with joy over the good things. Okay, that's pretty satisfying. The Lord provides. My people will be filled to the full with the good things I provide. So He satisfies with His goodness. E, He says His goodness is enduring. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. That's pretty enduring, isn't it? Of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. That's a long time. That's pretty enduring. Psalm 52:1 says, the goodness of God endures continually. F, He says His goodness is universal. Okay, Psalm 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all and has compassion on all He has made. Matthew 5:45 says, so that you will be like your Father in heaven, since He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay, four, let's move on. How does God show His goodness? All right. He shows His goodness to believers. That's us. Psalm 31:19 says, how great is your goodness, which you store up for your loyal followers. That's such a good picture of God just having a big box of goodness right here, ready for each one of us. It's bigger than we can even imagine. Huge. More than we'll ever need. Barely. We're paddling in the shallows. Yes. Yes. It'd be like dropping you in the ocean. So there's God's goodness. Now you're in it. And that's just a drop compared to what's available because He's infinite. So your mind just kind of goes, whoa, that's crazy. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who trust in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Okay, so how else does He show His goodness? He shows His goodness, B, in doing good. Psalm 119:68, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. So if we see God is good and that He does good, we kind of want to do that. We want to emulate God. Psalm 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all and has compassion on all He has made. Psalm 125:4 says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. So He does good. His goodness is revealed by His what He does. It's good. We see it. It's evident to us.
Everything He does for us shows His goodness from the birth itself.
Everything.
Life itself.
Breath,
life,
air.
His goodness to salvation, to provision of everything we have.
Yes.
Everything is showing His goodness.
Yes. And we don't. Most people don't really notice that.
That's such a good point, because when you were talking earlier about the first point leading to the second, my mind wanted to go, goodness comes to God's people, and then goodness comes through God's people.
That's fruit of the Spirit.
And that is true.
Yes.
But it's not limited to coming through God's people.
Mm-mm.
God does come through lost people.
It's everywhere.
Whether they know it or not.
Yes.
Whatever good has come in their life has been in some way given by God.
It's not coming from Satan. We know that.
Right. In some way, there's been some influence
yes.
or something going on there that came from God.
Yeah.
Because all good is from God.
There's yes. even inanimate things that are showing God's goodness
yes.
in our lives.
Yeah. Trees. You just look at nature. I mean, nature's there, and it shows God in all. Everything is so intertwined, and it all functions so good. We're stunned at how good it is, but we just kind of don't give God the glory for it.
You know, Einstein, they were asking him about God, and God saw him doing everything, and he said the more investigation he did, the more it was, he felt irritated. He wasn't Christian.
Yes.
And because of the order and everything, it just made him, you know, bristle at the fact that there's a God.
Right. It was evident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because design demands a designer.
Absolutely. Goodness demands a good origin, a good origin. It's a good word. Where does the goodness come from? It comes from God. It's obviously, like I said, there's good and there's bad, and man is, we're just bad. We're just bent toward bad, unfortunately, until God comes in us and makes us and transforms us. And we're going to talk about that too. So another way God shows His goodness is He shows His goodness in supplying temporary wants. Acts 14:17 says, "But He never left them without guidance of Himself and His goodness. For instance, He sends you rain on good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts." So that's just a temporary thing. Like you said, it can be an inanimate object, like a crop. It's a good thing. You plant. God could say, and He did in the Old Testament, it's going to be a famine 3 years, and you're not going to get anything. I don't care how much you plant. You get zero.
It's like situations that we face and go through in life. God's goodness is shown in a lot of, nearly all of that, I mean, in your life. Because
yeah. Even the bad things.
The words to say it.
Yeah.
But as God teaches and guides us and sanctifies us through our life, I can see and notice things as they happen or after they happen and go, wow, that was God instigating all that. It had to be.
And it worked out for good, didn't it?
Goodness. It was always good.
Yeah.
It always ended up being. Like the verse that says, all things work together for the good.
Yep.
And that
those who love
a really
him.
Horrible situation, something good can come
yeah.
out of it.
Yeah.
And it usually does.
And it may not even involve you. It may involve someone else who needed yeah, to see
true.
That.
True, yeah.
And your reaction to that.
It's such a big, wide
oh, yeah.
variance and variety of the different things that show yeah. God's goodness.
Yeah, that's where you get into God is omniscient and knows everything, including what could be.
And I want to thank Him for that throughout the day. And sometimes I'll catch myself doing that.
Good.
Thank you, Lord. You know, it's something really, really small, but to me it ain't small.
Yeah.
It's small things. I thank God for small things as well as the big things.
Well, that's exactly what you should
know?
Do.
And just try to
the small things are the what most people, just like I said, nature. It's all around you. People just don't give God the glory. It's a sin. We sin. I think we sin way more than we even are aware of. Just not giving God glory for the things we should be. It's just all around us.
Sins of omission.
Yes.
Therefore, to Him that knoweth to do good,
yep.
doeth it not. To
very good verse. In fact, I don't even think I use that verse. You have to look that one up. I might stick that in here somewhere. So, how else does He show His goodness? He shows His goodness in providing for the poor. Psalm 68:10 says, "For you live among them, you sustain the oppressed with your good blessings, O God." He shows His goodness to lead to repentance. This is a good one. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" So repentance in the Greek means to change your mind, okay? And contrary to what religion, quote unquote, may tell you, you don't need to change in order for God to show you His goodness. All right, we've already had verses on that. He shows to the good and the bad His goodness. So it's the exact opposite of that. God shows His goodness, and that goodness draws us to Him and leads us to change. That's so good. Not, no pun intended there. So good. Okay, so how else does God show His goodness? He shows His goodness in forgiving sins. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 18 says, "For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the Lord, who is good, forgive." That's a nice short prayer, isn't it? Psalm 86, 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." That's a great verse, too. That's Psalm 86, 5. So, no matter what happens in our lives, God never leaves us, does He? He can't. Where's He going to go? He's infinite. He takes up all space. So, in His goodness, He gave us the greatest gift. What's the greatest gift? That's it. The gift of His only Son, Jesus. Jesus is perfectly good. He is the goodness of God in human flesh. And when we look at Jesus, we see the goodness of God. And in fact, He's the only goodness, only good that ever came out of Nazareth, isn't He? You know the question, what good came out of Nazareth? The good.
That's why I always was curious about that particular verse when the rich young guy comes to Jesus, says, "Good master," and says,
"Don't call me good.
Call me good. There's none good but one, the Father." And I thought, yeah, but Jesus, you are good.
That's what Jesus was saying. I am God. Oh, yeah.
Because He knew the mind
of the guy.
Heart and mindset of that young man. I guess I've heard it explained out, and I tend to agree with that. But I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, he's basically saying, there's none good but God, and you're talking to Him. But you don't know that you're talking to Him.
Right.
You're
right.
Using it wrong. But if you knew.
You got to think about that.
Yes.
And if you're not careful, you'll go, why?
Yes.
You'll think Jesus is claiming He ain't good.
Yeah.
But He is.
Yes.
I understand it now.
Yes.
But I mean, for a while there, it threw me for a
loop
when I didn't.
Well, it'd be easy just to read right past that easily.
Yeah.
Do you have something?
Well, this goes all the way back to the beginning. You know, Adam and Eve trying to cover their sins by the works of their hands, sowing fig leaves. And,
yep.
Cain offering up the labor of his hands as opposed to Abel offering up a sacrifice of another. It goes all the way back to that.
Yep.
He was the rich young ruler was so wired to think that there had to be some good that he could do, and he was trying to bring that out of Jesus. What good?
Yeah.
And Jesus was trying to change his way of thinking, and he was, what he was basically saying was, you're going down the wrong path. What you need to be thinking about is, who am I and your relationship to me?
Yep. Right.
Like, I'm, you know, the answer is not in what good you can do. The answer is in me.
Yep.
You know,
and what I've done.
What I've done.
Yeah. No more do. It's done. So the next way He can shows His goodness is He shows His goodness so that it is recognized in His dealings. Okay? So we need to be aware, kind of like you guys are picking up on God being good somewhere. He does His goodness for that reason. Ezra 8:18 says, "And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding." And that guy's name was Sherebiah. So they recognized that God was at work. His goodness brought them a man that they really needed. And I think God brought us a man we really need here in Pastor Ben. Nehemiah 2:18 says, "When I related to them how the good hand of our God was on me and what the king had said to me, then they replied, let's begin rebuild." This is Nehemiah. Then they said, "Let's begin rebuilding right away." So they readied themselves for this good project. So by the good hand of God, Nehemiah relayed to them what was happening, and they said, "All right, we see this is a good thing. Let's get to it right now. We're going to start on it. This is a good project." So be aware of the good thing of God's goodness around you and how He's dealing with you and others. And He shows His goodness by answering prayer. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, "And in this regard we pray for you always that our God will make you worthy of his calling and fulfill, okay, so he's answering a prayer, by his power, your every desire for goodness. Think about that one. And every work of faith. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:11. He shows his goodness so that it will not be despised. Okay? Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So you can despise his goodness. And I think sometimes you're not even aware of it. Like we said, you're just unaware. But once you are aware, you just despise it, kind of like people despise Christ. So another way he shows his goodness is to inspire reverence, kind of the exact opposite. Jeremiah 33:9 says, all the nations will hear about all the good things which you will do to them. This city will bring me fame, honor, and praise before them for the joy I will bring it. The nations will tremble in awe at all the peace and prosperity that I will provide for it. That's Jeremiah 33:9. Hosea 3:5 says, after the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, they will fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So one day in the end times, 1,000-year reign, I think, is what that's talking about, Israel will turn to and worship the Lord and his goodness in those days. They will recognize him. He also shows his goodness to magnify himself. This is K. Psalm 107:8 says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do we do that? Do we thank God for his goodness? Hopefully we do. Hopefully it's on your radar now. Jeremiah 33:11 says, once again, there will be sounds of joy and gladness and the glad celebrations of brides and grooms. Once again, people will bring their thank offerings to the temple of the Lord and will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. So that will bring him praise and honor. It will magnify him by his goodness. And let's see, he shows his goodness to urge others to trust in it. Okay? So Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see the Lord is good. Now, how blessed is the one who takes shelter in him. That's Psalm 34, verse 8. So when we're discouraged or we're overwhelmed, guys, which is often for man, when we cling to the goodness of God and press on, knowing he's at work, because his purposes for us are always good. That's what we should do. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, your verse, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Now, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, right? That, guys, is a very good truth to trust in. So no matter what's going on in our lives, if it's wonderful or if it's terrible, we should know that God remains perfectly good through all that. And we can trust in that. We can know that. Okay, the last one here, M, says, he shows his goodness because the wicked disregard it. Now, God is not only good, but he's also severe, right? He has a just side.
Part of his goodness is withholding his wrath.
Yes, absolutely, as long as he can. Sometimes he holds it till you die and you're hell-bound. He's been calling you your whole life. And you've rejected him your whole life. How sad is that?
That is sad. And it reminds me of deathbed confessions.
Yeah.
Or deathbed.
Sure.
Know? And I do believe that happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's heartbreaking to me to see how much, and even this is personal for me, I'm not so sure. I had a close friend, and I don't know where they're at, where their soul's at now. I really don't. I can't have big confidence within me that they actually are going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so heartbreaking. So heartbreaking.
But you know,
it's sobering too.
Yes.
It's a sobering thing.
Yeah, but you know God's goodness wanted him to be saved his whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
And God did everything he could do. He made it. All you had to do was take the gift. And God did all he could do.
I don't ever lose hope. Some people seem so hopeless. In the most hopeless situation, I know in my mind, mm-hmm. there still is some hope.
Right.
As long as somebody's alive.
Yep. Well, I think that's the definition of hell. No hope. Ever. No possibility of hope. I mean, if there was just a teeny millionth of a percent that you could get out of there, you might could hang on for a billion years. But there's zero. Zero hope. That's awful. Romans 11:22 says, this is still on the goodness of God being disregarded, the wicked disregarding it. Romans 11:22 says, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. Continuing in Romans, it says that because Israel turned away from God, God was severe with Israel and temporarily broke her off from the good olive tree and grafted in the Gentiles, right? This shows us the goodness and severity of God. God is good toward all who accept His goodness, and if a man will not take God's goodness, then the man must have God's severity. This was basically what we just talked about, which is pointed toward all who continue to rebel against Him. So, yeah, basically we've kind of covered that already. So we'll go on to the last point here. Where has God demonstrated His goodness? So He demonstrated His goodness in the acts of creation. We've talked about this quite a bit already. So all that emerges from God, His decrees, His creation, His laws, His will, can be anything but good. Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very what? Good. Thus, the goodness of God is first seen in creation. Everything about the structure of our bodies attests to the goodness of God. Think about it, guys. God formed us, our bodies, in such a way that it can be inhabited and be an acceptable temple to God. That's an amazing thought. The Holy Spirit in you, that's just amazing. Psalm 139:14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now talk about a pregnant verse. Think about how we're made up. You know, back when, I'd say Moses, back then they thought, you know, you just had a baby. You got a baby. They didn't know what was going on way before the baby was born. They didn't know all the processes going on in our body, all the mitochondria, the tiny little things that are happening. We don't even understand all the things that are going on, the atoms and the neutrons and the electrons and the things that are happening in our body, the electrical forces making our brains work. You didn't understand any of that stuff.
How much of that, brother, is we're made in His image, according to what He says?
Yes.
That's part of that image. We're not God, of course.
Yeah, no.
We're not fully God by no means.
Well, and that won't be our final body either.
Image part of that, mm-hmm. walk hand in hand with what you're speaking of right there.
Well, it's Him. It's His creation, so it's Him.
So He's got that, walks hand in hand with His love.
Yes.
I mean, if He made us in His image.
Blows your mind. So, I am fearfully and wonderfully made is packed. You could have volumes of information in that, was that like six words? You could write volumes of books on just that one verse. It's what we call a pregnant verse. You park there and just stay there. So how else has God demonstrated His goodness? He demonstrated His goodness in His providence. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's providence, all right? God comes in our lives. He knows. He's omniscient, so He knows everything we're going to do, everything we could have done, and what would have happened in all those cases, and how to orchestrate it so that He works all of that for our good. It's amazing. James 1:17 says, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation." Okay, so that's immutability. Doesn't wumble around. Doesn't do all this stuff like we do, up and down.
I was wondering when you were going to get to that
verse. Or shadow of turning. That's a good one. Love it. Y'all know that's my favorite attribute.
I was thinking about the verse when we were talking earlier about every good thing, whether lost or saved, whether inanimate object or not.
Yeah.
Right. That verse came to my mind. It's all goodness comes from God.
That's it.
I was thinking about that too.
It can't come from nowhere else because nothing else is good. And he was the first good.
I came in late. May have missed it. But did we, in this particular class, define good, like come up with a working definition for good?
Good. Well, what would you say it would be?
I think it has kind of a twofold meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is that which is morally right. And I think it's also that which is to be desired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Two very good ones. Very good. Now, God...
And, looking at it from that perspective...
God works in opposites all through the Bible. In fact, He uses opposites so that we can realize the good.
So is it really bad? Some things that we think are bad may actually not be bad.
Yeah, or some things we think... It's probably the other... Some things we think are good probably aren't. We're probably more failing on that end of the, because men are very good self-justifiers. So we can justify anything, even though it's totally wrong.
I try not to.
Yeah, but it's hard. You're doing it right now.
Well, see like apologies.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I like apologies. I hear so many apologies. That people aren't really apologizing.
You know,
they end up in their apology giving an excuse for why they did something. And when I say I'm sorry to somebody, I consciously don't go into any excuse. I tell them I was wrong, it was sin, I was wrong.
Well, in apologies, the rule is...
But then especially politics.
Everything before the but is a lie.
You know.
In apologies. Did you get that?
Yeah.
So they can say all they want, but when they say "but," it disqualifies everything they've already said.
It's humbling. You have to have humility to do that. People struggle with that, especially with the laws.
It's hard. So let me keep going here. Our best interest and God's will for us are always synonymous. So we can always trust our good God to be working for our benefit. C.H. Spurgeon said, "The goodness of God is the life of the believer's trust." Think about that. The goodness of God is the life of our trust. It is this excellency in God which most appeals to our hearts. We talked about that earlier. It's kind of one of the things you kind of can grab onto is God's goodness as a human. Because His goodness endures forever, we ought to never be discouraged. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Nahum 1:7. This is still Spurgeon. When others behave badly to us, it should only stir us up the more heartily to give thanks unto the Lord because He is good. And when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we should only the more reverently bless Him that He is good. So think about that. When others do bad to us, we should thank God He's good. And when we do bad and we know we're doing bad, we should thank God that He is good. We're recognizing that. So we must, still Spurgeon here, we must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. Whatever else may be questioned, this is absolutely certain that Jehovah is good. His dealings with man may vary, but His nature is always the same. We've talked about that. God is immutable, cannot change. Therefore, He's constant. That's such a great attribute. So the last little deal here for demonstrating His goodness says, this is C, He demonstrated His goodness in His daily provision for us. So God and what God provides for us is all we need. So God and what He provides is all we need. Psalm 107:8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The right response to his goodness is to be thankful, right? So if his good is all around us all the time, we ought to be what all the time? Thankful all the time.
And good, like what he...
We should be, yes. If you surrender to the Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit will come through you.
There was a Christian man I used to know come around our job site all the time. He always would bring us... He'd come in, be thankful. That was his catchphrase.
That's
he said
good.
It all the time, yeah. And he always had a smile on his face.
Yep.
And it was always bless me big time.
Because yep.
Thankful. But it impressed upon me a lot, because you just don't see people doing that.
Yep.
This guy was a brightness in my work day when he would come into the shop.
I have a sweet elderly patient, and she says, God is good. God is good. God, I mean, she says it, I don't know, probably 50 times during our appointment.
Yeah, well,
God is good.
I would never see this guy that it wouldn't come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
How you doing? Oh, great. Be thankful.
Yeah.
I said, I am.
That's great. I love it. So the right response to God is to be thankful, as you said, yet it's often withheld from Him simply because His goodness is so constant and so abundant. So it's not thought highly of because it's exercised toward us in the common course of events of our day. It's always here, right? Simply put, God's goodness is all around us, and we've just gotten used to it. But it's there. It's like dropping you in the ocean. If you're in the ocean long enough, you would just get used to it. It's like living at the beach. If you live at the beach, you probably wouldn't pay attention to the beach much anymore. About a year, you'd be like, I don't even go out there anymore.
It's so easy in our flesh.
Yes. Very easily, yes. So, to end it here, one of the most amazing things you can ever experience is a true awakening to the goodness of God, which we've kind of talked about, you guys being aware of that now. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see the Lord is good. Think about that. God's goodness is something that can be tasted and seen. And you know what? When you do see it and you taste it, it changes you. Okay. In fact, it changes everything. When you discover how good God really is and you experience His unmerited love and favor, it shapes your everyday expectations. Psalm 33:5 says, the earth is full of the goodness of God. Psalm 33:5. That means you can't get away from it. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. No matter what direction you go, guys, you're going to run into the goodness of God. Even if you fall backwards, you'll fall back into God's goodness, into His loving arms. Yeah, that's great. Now that, guys, is good. That's good. And God is good, right? What's the response to that? God is good all the time. Very good. Okay, so you guys got any questions? Make a statement.
85-year-old lady, but real quick, who's in the meeting? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead of you guys.
Shoot.
Go ahead, no. Go okay. For it, bro.
As is usually the case, the cynical unbeliever says, if God is so good, why does He send people to hell? Excuse me, God's goodness does not abrogate His justice.
No.
The soul that sins must die, and He will punish sin. Thank God He punished our sins.
And yours too. The lost guy you're talking to.
By removing evil from the existence of, from our existence, is an act of goodness towards everyone else.
I like the way you worded that. That's worded very well.
Yeah.
You must speak to people, because people bring that up all. Why does God allow so much evil? Why did He kill so many people? Yeah. No babies.
Right.
Wiped out hope. That. Get that more than anything else.
Yeah.
I got better answers now than I did a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Well, the cross, thank God. The cross is that same symbol of His love, is also an expression of His justice.
Yes.
Jesus was tortured.
He meted out. That's where our wrath was taken.
Exactly. Are you a doctor?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about, taste and see that the Lord is good.
That's very up my alley. I'm a dentist.
I love that. Well, I was thinking, chewing on that verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. So that's it. It tells me that it's observable in the real world.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's in that verse, God is telling us this is observable in the real world, and this is an invitation for you to try me out.
Yes.
Right. Test me.
Yes.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah. That's very good.
See, if you want to put it in the terms of, you know, like thinking in terms of a laboratory or, you know, observable science.
Yes.
God is saying, this is observable. Try it.
Yeah. Here's the evidence. Prove it. Here it is. It's very provable. Just ask around.
That's not the only time he said prove me.
No, it's not. No. A couple of times.
Open up the windows.
Yes.
For our blessings.
Yeah. That's good. God's goodness is a good attribute. And like you said, it's one of the more relatable to us because we've all experienced good and we've all experienced bad and we've all delivered good and delivered bad. So we know that it's there, but God is there all around us, which is the point I want to get across. His good is everywhere, all the time, infinite, eternal. It's always been there. It's unchanging. Even though we're doing all this all through the time, His goodness is always good. That's an amazing truth.
And since God is good, to be godly as a believer is not a choice. It's a command.
Yes.
And to not be godly.
And to be holy.
Which we fail at all the time.
Yes.
But to not be godly is sin.
Yes.
Because God is good, and therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, because if you're not good, you're not being like God. You're not being godly. You're not reflecting what he wants us to reflect to the rest of the world, which ultimately can lead to loss of souls.
Yeah.
Well, that's the ultimate. Yeah. For God, God sees lost and saved. Yeah. You know, I had a friend, that's what he was a... He was gifted with the gift of evangelism. He was a witness machine. Jerry Parker, y'all know Jerry Parker? Anyway, Jerry said, he said, there's two things. He said, first, in the South, you have to get them lost before you can get them saved, because everybody thinks they're saved.
Yeah.
Because grandmas, and they always been to church.
Yeah.
He said, second, because of that, he said, all I see is on your forehead, an L or an S. To me, that's how I see everybody. You're lost or saved. I was like, wow. And if you were hung around Jerry would be, he'd give you 2 minutes. And after 2 minutes, if you hang along longer than 2 minutes, he would witness to you. And he was very gifted at that. Some people are just gifted with it. And some people are not gifted with it. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. But
right.
I know I've heard Warren Wiersbe say, he says, I am not gifted with that. He said, I have a friend, he can just like open his mouth and people get saved. He said, and I witness and people just, he said, I'm just not gifted at it. He said, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. He said, but God gifts some people to, I think Chris Hodges is gifted with that. Yeah. There are just some people who just can do it. They just get the inroad and it's amazing to watch.
Michael Murphy was like that.
Was he?
Went on our New Orleans trip, and
it was effortless.
Stephen went with him. I wanted to go with him because I wanted some of that to rub off on me, because to observe him and the way he would bring Jesus into a conversation with somebody.
It's just effortless. They're just skilled. Yes.
And I was a little bit envious of that, you know, at the same time.
Well, you may not.
I didn't think I could. That's been a really hard area for me.
Yeah.
But I've seen some progress. God's given me some progress. I can open up a little more to people than I was unable to before.
Well, that may not be your strength. Your strength may be discipling guys who have already been led to Christ.
Whatever the case may be, I still,
looking
for opportunities. To honor God, make Him look good, and to reach other people, help them understand who God really is. One of the main reasons people stay lost is they got a wrong conception of God.
Absolutely.
Or either they don't believe Him at all, or they just got such
It's in their emotions, something in their upbringing or whatever. They're going to have to get over that particular hurdle before that's blocking them. it's got their mind. They've almost made up their mind that that's just, it can't happen. But it's hard. But there are guys who are gifted with that. I don't know how we got on that, but any other thing about God's goodness? Any questions?
I think the biggest struggle we all have is doing the right thing and waiting when things don't line up with just right. And, a lot of times things can be God's will and glorifies Him, but the timing is wrong.
Sure.
Maybe praying for someone and nothing happens for a couple of years. But if you keep praying, eventually it'll be
in. Yeah. Well, it's like a I was in Sunday school this morning, and Jim Schemaker said he was talking to a guy, and he said, "Well, God just doesn't answer my prayers." And I looked at Jim, and I said, "Well, that's not true." I said, "God's always answering prayers. It just ain't the answer you want. It may be wait. It may be yes. It may be no. But He's always answering prayer. We just may not like it, or like His timing, or whatever. You know, we're just human." God is not. He doesn't operate on our time scale. He operates in omniscience. Oh, He's looking down the road and seeing where you're going, saying, "No, I can't answer that yet, because this guy here hasn't showed up yet. In 3 weeks, that guy's going to show up, and I'm going to answer that prayer right there. Boom. And then these guys are going to take off, and it's going to be awesome. If I answered it now, this never happens." And I think God works like that. He works everything for the good of those who love Him and trust Him. He does, because it's perfect timing. If it wasn't the last minute, it was too early or it's too late. It happens.
You have something going on.
Yes.
It's just, I kind of got used to it. Finally, by this day, this is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's having faith. That's how, who was it? George Mueller prayed and got, like $1.7 or $5 million delivered and never asked for a penny. He just prayed and it would show up. But he never talked to anybody about, "Hey, give me some money." That's incredible.
He started out with having cholera going through London or whatever. Yeah. Parents were dying like crazy. And this little girl, she was like 6 or 7 years old. She had her 2-year-old brother on her back. She's walking down the street, and he felt sorry for her, obviously, and he started talking to her. And she was lived pretty close to where they were. And he started having food. Breakfast and lunch and stuff, and people started depending on it. The kids did.
Right.
And he ended up, the modern orphanages and stuff like that are spent on.
Right. Yeah. I can't remember the number of kids he took care of, but it was a lot.
So there was one little wild situation where one of the matriarchs was feeding the kids, went up to Mr. Mueller and said, "Look, we don't have anything." He said that they'd always been provided, but they didn't have anything in the pantry or anything like that.
Right.
She goes, "It's finally happening."
Yeah.
And then a wagon cart was carrying milk. The axle broke, and it was right at the door of the orphanage. And he had just come by the bakery, too, and got it all.
He had to get rid of her and spoil, didn't he? Well, guess who's perfect timing? That perfect timing, guess whose faith got increased? That lady's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was shocked. She kept learning.
Yeah. Well, he had to get the cupboards empty so he could deliver that buggy and increase that woman's faith. Perfect timing.
Answered prayer is one of the biggest things for me, and I guess for probably every Christian, that helps increase your faith.
Sure. God's good, guys.